Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Today we'll be continuing our question and answer series with more of our listeners' questions. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom answers these questions.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
You'll never have a perfect people with which to work or to lead. But understand, these people will think they're right and not know that it's a spirit of Satan of some kind, of one of his fallen angels, that motivates them. Because as an angel of light, they're able to deceive, as we see in 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. When we got saved, our old carnal nature remained. Within the very best Christian in this lifetime is an implacable enemy of righteousness that ever seeks to lure us to act and walk in the flesh instead of the Spirit. The various spirits of devils will try to be either a roaring lion, seeking to devour you, or parade as an angel of light and try to get your eyes on people in order to discourage you. So it is of utmost importance that you learn to find your joy in the Lord, regardless of your present circumstances. Keep your eyes on Him, not people. We all have a carnal nature, and it will war against us to make us abhor the particular God-given work that He has for us. A doctrine that has overtaken the church in the last days is seen in Jude 4, where it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Lasciviousness is the removal of all standards and rules, you know. Hey, we live in grace. Hey, we have liberty to do this. We have liberty to do that. Well, that denies the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ because He's holy. God is holy, and so it denies Him that place while we exercise the flesh, thinking that it's liberty. And people that hear this, one author wrote a book on this, and it has caused much problems because now they think that this is actually a doctrine of God's Word, and they would call us legalists. But liberty to the flesh is a doctrine that has been developed in these last days, and it has saturated the churches in order for Christians to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and to relieve them of having any guilt or regret as a result. And again, Satan uses it as if he's making them think he's using the Bible to call us legalists. In Proverbs 25, verse 4, it states this, "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." Taking away the dross speaks of getting saved. Jesus saves us from our sin. But at that point, we are ready for the finer. And that finer can mold us and make us after His will. And too often, it's the refiner's fire that makes so many quit. As people get saved, we are in a position to get them ready for the refiner. And your life, which they can see, can be the vessel that comes out as the finer works on us. You know, Psalms 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The vessel is never ready only one time in the fire. The finer purifies it seven times. Fire and then buffing is what prepares a beautiful vessel for eternity. So realize those enemies many times are not even aware that they're being influenced by the devil. The number one mistake we can make as Christians is to get our eyes on people instead of the Lord. When we do look at people, Satan will make sure that we see their failures and inconsistencies in order to discourage us. The Lord allows us to see it that we might turn our confidence and trust totally to Him. So, my friend, yes, God allows us to see the failures of others that we might realize that our trust must be in Him, not those people. And sometimes getting discouraged and ready to quit when others fail is really something that shows that we are looking at people instead of the Lord. And maybe God allowed it for us to see it so that we might repent and keep our eyes on Him. Well, that's a very interesting question come up. As I said, I've answered it many times over the years to different people in different situations. And so I just thought, since I've sent that answer out to others, I would just, instead of just looking at one or two, I would look at several people that have asked that question, just give this general answer back out. Okay, Mr. Announcer, give us question number 15.
I've watched your internet church service. I notice you have an invitation at the end of each Sunday service. Some sermons are such that I don't think any would come forward. So why do you have an invitation each service on Sunday? Is it just a tradition only?
Wow, this is a very good question here from a listener. And let me just say this. This is the last question from a listener, so I hope that you'll listen up. But this is a good, serious question, and I don't believe the listener, when I read the letter, was trying to be contentious or trying to debate me. I'm sure you've wondered, if you sit in a smaller church, and many times you may go week after week without anyone coming down the aisle, and yet they have an invitation. And I admit that there are some sermons that God gives me that I say, you know what, to myself even, I doubt anybody will be coming forward, but this needs to be preached. So let me start out by saying, all of this points to the fact that we need revival. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, we read this, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood." Notice it's a holy priesthood. "To offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to the preacher?" No, it says acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Then verse 9 of 1 Peter 2 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." There's again, a holy priesthood, now we're a royal priesthood. "And holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You know, Christians and non-Christians alike are seeing that this country is in some kind of trouble and that something needs to happen. Now, we as Bible-believing fundamental Christians know that we need a revival of repentance from sin in this country, beginning in our churches. The only way for this country to be saved and have revival is for us who are Christians to do our job, which is to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous, that is, His holy light. From sin, to light. Our life should reflect that. But we do that by exercising our office of priest. Now, I really appreciate that this listener and the people are watching our church services at home. I had some people that have emailed us, written us letters, said, you know, there's not a church in our area that's really preaching the word, you know, and they're liberal and other things. If we had a good church, we'd go to it, and they don't have it. And so they watch our services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And one I was told of that actually mails their tithe in, just said, look, well, we actually have two or three that mail their tithe in, I think, because he said, we don't have a church. And I'm very strong. Your tithe belongs to your local church. But they're sending it to us because they feel like we're their local church, even though they may live in New York or some other place after that nature. And so they're facing that. But what does that tell us? We need a revival. But we must pay the price for revival. We've all heard of demon possession on foreign fields. I believe that we're seeing the birth pangs of it and its manifestation in America right now. Television movies, cartoons, children to adult ages. There's a heavy concentration of not only the occult, but making it seemingly not dangerous and even acceptable, as people trying to make homosexual marriage acceptable. They're doing the same with these occult-type things. When Jesus was on the earth, we read of his dealing with demon possession. One time when his disciples could not cast the demon out of a young fella, the Lord come and did it, and they asked him why they couldn't do it. And he says, this kind comes not forth but by prayer and fasting. I think the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, they tried to cast out a devil by saying, by the authority of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out. You know, and that demon-possessed man beat up all seven of those boys. And you see, they may have thought they had the right words, but they didn't have the right heart. They didn't have the power of God. So in saying all that, I want you to think on this. Think on this right now. This is very important that you think on this. When Jesus Christ was on earth 2,000 years ago, he did not, let me say this, he did not cleanse a house of gambling or prostitution, nor did he clean up a bar. But he did cleanse the temple, and he did it twice. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast. 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no grace. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.